The following is an unrehearsed interview with Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley. Participating in today's public affairs program is Coltrane Carlson with Raccoon Valley Radio. Coltrane, can you start us off with a question for Senator Grassley?
Thank you, sir, for the opportunity. So I guess the first question I have for you then is, do you believe that the United States aid for Israel and Ukraine is stretching U.S. support pretty thin? Because it's been an ongoing thing, especially with the Ukrainians in a conflict with Russia. And now we've had this kind of upstart with Israel and Iran. So I just want to get your thoughts about, you know, is the U.S. support for aid getting stretched pretty thin, having to kind of help out two countries overseas?
I think there's two answers to your question. I think that it's unquestionable that our support for Israel has been for a half century and right now is very, very strong. Maybe the Gaza situation has raised some questions, but it's more about how the Gaza war is being handled than anything to do with U.S. support for Israel. I think you could be a person that disagrees with the way Israel is handling things in Gaza, but you're still going to stand behind the country of Israel. In regard to Ukraine, I believe there's mixed emotions. I think that that the way the money's been given to Ukraine, like the recent amount of money appropriated, it sounds like we're giving $65 billion directly to Ukraine as cash, whereas $24 billion of that is being spent in the United States making war material that's upgraded and replenishing our warehouses, and it's all being done by American workers, or another $12 billion that's going to support our troops in Europe, because we had to beef that up. And so there isn't $65 billion going, but when people read in the newspapers day after day about $65 billion for Ukraine, then they think that money's going to Kyiv. So I think that has weakened U.S. support for Ukraine, but not completely. And I think there's still a majority support for stopping Putin and seeing him as a potential enemy that would force us to do a lot more if he took over Ukraine and was a greater threat to a NATO country.
Okay. And then my next question has to deal with the carbon dioxide underground pipeline project being pursued by Summit Carbon Solutions. As you know, it goes across five Midwest states, including Iowa. And right here in Greene County, where Jefferson sits, we've got at least 10 miles for their first phase and another like almost 30 miles going across the county for the second phase. There has been reports, though, and I've heard that there's currently no safety regulations from the U.S. Department of Transportation with the Pipeline and Hazardous Materials Safety Administration. And so in regards to just carbon dioxide pipelines, so do you think there should be more precise safety regulations for that type of material and that type of project? And would one of the ways that you could encourage that is like a requirement either through the U.S. Congress or maybe even the Senate? Can you share your thoughts about that?
I haven't had any indication, although I wouldn't be on the committee that would handle the U.S. Department of Transportation's involvement, to know for sure, but I haven't been involved in any discussions that there ought to be any hearings or investigations by Congress on this. The location and eminent domain and all that is under state law. And, of course, there's at least three states have to give approval of it. And I understand that the Iowa Utility Commission has given approval to it, but that South Dakota has a different approach and so far has been withholding approval. But for this stuff to go through, all states are going to have to approve of it. So I know that this is a highly controversial issue, because it's come up in my 99 county meetings quite frequently, and it's basically a state issue. But when you get back to the question of some federal involvement, I don't know what federal laws would be specifically involved, but I would expect those federal laws to be followed.
Okay. And then another one, I know you've been going at this time and time again with all these reports, is it has to deal with the farm bill. But my question is, assuming that we'll get another one-year extension on the 2018 farm bill, that would make it now a multi-year one-year extension. What I'd like to know from you, sir, is how many times have you experienced this same similar situation where we've had an older farm bill get a multi-year extension without coming up with a new farm bill to be passed?
Well, I wouldn't want to say it happens every time that a five-year farm bill has to be renewed, but it's happened several times. And so this isn't unusual to have another extension at this point. Does that answer your question, or did I misinterpret your question?
Well, I was just wondering, since you've been serving in the United States Senate for a number of years, have you encountered where an older farm bill would get not only a one-year extension, but then another year after that and another year after that, because the five-year farm bill never got a new one passed?
Most often just a one-year extension, but I don't want to say that this year is the only time it's ever been done twice, but I guess in my memory, this is the first time it's been done twice, but I'd have to go back and check the history. So give me a little bit of leeway on that.
No problem. Okay, so then obviously with our election now just about a week away, how confident are you in Iowa's election security for the upcoming presidential election for November 5th, and I guess all the other states across our country? And I guess then will you reaffirm again that the 2020 election wasn't rigged or stolen, like has still been being claimed by some members of the Republican Party?
Well, I think that Republicans get a bum rap that we're the only ones concerned about election security, because don't forget, in 2000, 2004, and 2016 elections, Democrats challenged the counting of electoral votes. So it isn't just the Republicans in 2020 election that was doing it, but that's all we seem to be talking about. So having said that, I haven't answered your question, but we got 50, you're asking me nationally, and we got 50 different state laws, and I can only speak for Iowa, and I speak with great confidence that voter fraud in Iowa is very, very rare, and there's been a couple recent prosecutions going back a couple elections, but nothing very great that you question the outcome of an election. And I just got all kinds of that the ballots are going to be counted fairly, and we're going to know who the winners are that very night of the election.
Okay. And I guess maybe another question I have for you, too. I've heard and seen most of the rallies and speeches where former President Donald Trump speaks at. And from my vantage point, it doesn't appear like he talks, at least in great detail. He might mention a policy or two, but never really goes into great detail about that. Can you speak to us about a specific policy with some details associated with what former President Trump is running on?
Well, at least you've got some specifics that he wants to accomplish, and you're not getting any of that. She's got a plan. She's got a plan. She's got a plan. And you never get any details about the plan. In his case, I would say the thing that is most difficult for him to give any specifics about is the fact that he's got this talks about tariffs a lot, but he's talking about taking actions based upon what some other action he's going to take. So he wants to increase tariffs, but only if other countries do such and such to hurt the United States. But he's made very clear what he's going to do on border security, and there shouldn't be any doubt about that. I mean, he's going to enforce the law. He's going to finish building the fence. He's going to export or deport the greatest number of people ever deported. He's going to have to prioritize that, and I think he's in the process of making very clear that people that are on the terrorist watch list and people that are committing crimes or have come into this country as convicted criminals in their own country, that they're going to be the first to go. And he's been very clear that he's going to do away with sanctuary cities.
Okay. And then I guess my final question I have for you, Senator, is there's this ongoing thing, and I think we've finally reached the initial deadline, for submissions when it comes to this lead line service inventory that the EPA, the Environmental Protection Agency, and the Iowa DNR has come up with for people to get rid of lead water service lines. And so governmental entities had to submit their initial findings in their communities. We've gotten past that point now, and the EPA, I just heard, has come out with some funding available that would go as a low-cost loan. Now, the one thing that's been a holdup on this whole process is determining whether or not it's on the homeowner or a governmental entity in order to replace these lines. I would like to know from you, sir, what do you think is fair in terms of who should be responsible to replace these lead lines or the galvanized lines that could require replacement, it would attract lead over time?
I don't know whether this answers your question or not, but I would go back to the initial putting in of the lines into the home. What did the homeowner pay for and what did the city pay for? And it ought to be the same way with replacement.
Do you think the EPA should be, if they're going to come up with these requirements for people to do this, should they be the one as a federal agency to take care of the issue rather than giving funding for a low-cost loan, but make it more of a grant program rather than a loan side so they can make it a little easier for people to have to go through these hoops that the EPA is requiring of them?
I guess I can't answer your question.
All right. That's all the questions I have for you then, Senator. Thank you.
Okay, goodbye.
Bye.
Thanks, Coltrane, for participating in today's public affairs program. This has been Senator Chuck Grassley reporting to the people of Iowa.